At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
And a happy Friday. Welcome into Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. We got a lot going on today. We are live monitoring the Arnold Palmer Invitational. I'm watching Jordan Spieth and Xander Schauffele right now out in Orlando. We're going to get to some baseball here in a little bit. Tony Andracchi is going to join me. We're going to talk about the Chicago Cubs today, get his thoughts on what the Cubs are going to do in the NL Central this year. Of course, we're going to talk plenty of college basketball. We got these conference tournaments starting to shape up. We got more and more teams competing here midday on a Friday. We'll dive into that. Look, it's the huge slate tomorrow, including three monster games, Duke, Carolina, Kansas, Houston, and Kentucky and Tennessee. Kate Constable will join me on later in the show, and then we'll give out some best bets. As always, any questions, comments that you guys have, let us know. Twitch.tv/BetQL. You can go to YouTube/Odyssey Sports, or you can go to Twitter and Instagram at the BetQL app and let us know what you guys are on this Friday. Let's get this thing going. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line. Tony Andracchi joins me. You can follow him on X at TonyAndracchi23, digital content manager and Cubs reporter for Marquee Sports Network. Tony, great having you on the show, man. This NL Central, I think, is going to be a lot of fun this year. The Cardinals are the favorites to win this division, but as everybody know, they had a really down year last year, which we normally don't see a lot from St. Louis, so certainly odds makers are expecting a bounce back for them. A lot of people are excited about the Reds this year. They think they're certainly a contender. The Brewers, nobody knows really what's going to happen with them after the Corbin Burns trade. And then you got the Cubs as well, who nearly made the postseason last year, and people think that they might make it this year. So, Tony, as you look at this NL Central Division, kind of what are you expecting, and where do you think the Cubs fit in to this whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you said. Like, it is a really, really interesting division. I feel like maybe a lot of people nationally are sleeping on the NL Central because all four teams will probably be in it. I know the Brewers losing Craig Counsell is a big loss for sure. Trading away Corbin Burns is big. You know, Brandon Woodruff won't pitch at all this season. But I don't think they're going to – I won't count the Brewers out. The Reds are an up-and-coming team. The Cardinals, I do like the fact that they address their pitching needs, but with a bunch of older arms. So, and the roster in general is kind of aging. So, I don't know. I feel like there are some question marks there. And it might be like, you know, a bit of a homer pick, but I do think that the Cubs are the favorite in my mind, and that's the way that I would bet on it for sure, that they would win the division. Like, it would have been more of a question before they brought Cody Bellinger back, but with him in the fold, and I like a lot of the young guys that are coming up, their pitching depth, the offense too, I think is very underrated. So just all those things combined, and then the fact that you're adding Council, arguably the best manager in the game to lead the group, I do think that the Cubs are going to win this division. That's my pick this year.
Tony, why do you think it was so important for the Cubs to re-sign Bellinger? I know he's coming off a massive season. He's certainly not one of like the 5 or 10 best players in baseball, but just knowing a lot of Cubs people, everybody wanted this guy back for the Cubs. They got him back, so why do you think it was so crucial for the Cubs to hang on to him?
Well, honestly, I think it's kind of similar to what you were saying. So he's not one of the maybe 5 or 10 best players, but he's the guy in the team that would be closest to that, to cracking the top 10. Mm-hmm. And I think he has upside. We saw in 2019 his MVP caliber season. Last year, if he didn't miss a month with a knee injury and he had that level of performance throughout the entire season, maybe he finishes second or third or something in NL MVP voting. I know there were a lot of really quality candidates last year, but he definitely had the kind of caliber of season right behind those couple of Braves and Dodgers guys who were in the mix last year. So I think he's the guy on their team that inspires fear in opposing pitchers more than anybody else. Like, there's a bunch of good hitters, and Christopher Morel is coming on, you know, Dansby Swanson, Nico Horner, Ian Happ, like a lot of solid guys. Seiya Suzuki still has to put together a full consistent season, but it's Cody Bellinger that inspires fear in everybody. And they also needed that left-handed bat. Like, that was something they were missing for sure, was more left-handed hitters who are quality hitters, but particularly more power from the left side. And so I think bringing Bellinger back, they have holes in center field and at first base, unless they were willing to give Pico Armstrong, you know, a full go of it in center field to start out. So Bellinger can fill both, can kind of fit both needs. He can slot in at 2, 3, 4, 5 in the lineup. I just think it was like a no-brainer to bring him back to get a little bit more of that star power to inspire more fear. And it just makes the rest of the offense look better because they are a little bit more balanced with left, right, left-handed pop, all that kind of stuff. And now with him back, I mean, the Cubs basically just have to hit on Michael Busch or Pico Armstrong at some point this year. If one of those two guys has a successful season, then the Cubs are in a really, really good spot.
And then, Tony, you mentioned earlier, obviously, the addition now of Craig Council as the new manager there for the Cubs, moving on from David Ross. What's the level of excitement with Chicago feeling like they now have one of the best managers in the game?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of excitement from fans for sure. And, you know, players have a lot of very like politically correct lines, of course. I think a lot of the guys in the clubhouse loved Ross and they loved playing for him. And, you know, he was a guy who commanded a lot of respect in the room. But, like, the Cubs wouldn't have made this move if it wasn't for Council. I believe he's the only manager in baseball that they would have gotten rid of Rossi for and brought in Council. And so I think there's just an instant credibility that comes with what he's been able to do to maximize the roster from the Brewers over the last, you know, almost decade, and the way he manages a bullpen and a pitching staff. And so I think there's instant credibility, instant respect from those guys in the clubhouse, from the rest of the front office. Jed Hoyer's talked about how Council looks at things from such a big picture that he basically is like an extension of the front office in the dugout there as well. And then, yeah, I think fans just love the move and they're really excited to see, you know, what happens and how they come, you know, how they, the Cubs kind of move forward from this. Cause there was a little bit of like meat left on the bone from this team last year. And I'm not putting that on Ross by any means, but I do think this Cubs team was better than they showed in the win column last year. And they like should have had 90 wins based on the run differential and all the other underlying metrics, ended up at 83. So if Council can come in and kind of maximize the roster, then yeah, I think they're in a really, really good spot and fans have reason to be excited.
Tony, you talk about the success he had in Milwaukee and especially the way he can handle a pitching staff. We know Justin Steele is going to be the workhorse. He's going to be the number one for the Cubs. They do lose Marcus Stroman, though. He's now a New York Yankee. What should we expect kind of the Cubs pitching rotation to look like behind Justin Steele?
Yeah, I think they're still figuring out like the last spot or maybe last two spots. I think they'll be flexible in using a six-man rotation at some points throughout the season. But it'll be Jameson Taillon, Kyle Hendricks, the two veteran righties. And then Shota Imanaga is going to be really, really interesting. The Japanese lefty, you know, the most enticing Japanese starting pitcher besides Yamamoto. So I think he's been really, really interesting in camp so far. he's a guy that has really impressed the Cubs with how he makes adjustments, how cerebral he is as a pitcher, you know, kind of like the left-handed, maybe Japanese version of Kyle Hendricks, who gets guys out in a lot of ways, who tries to use things like Imanaga is already talking about using the pitch clock as an advantage when his very first spring game, even before he threw a pitch, he got called for a pitch clock violation. So it's, you know, he's been a fun presence too. It's been really interesting to see him. So I'm expecting really good things. I think the Cubs are as well from him. And then, yeah, there's, you know, a bunch of young guys like Jordan Wicks, Javier Assad, Hayden Wesneski. I think one of their top prospects, Cade Horton, will probably be up at some point this year making starts. And Ben Brown, another young right-hander as well, will be in the mix. And then veteran Drew Smyly's in there too to kind of make some starts, go to the bullpen, be a left-handed veteran reliever out of the bullpen as well. It's going to be a mix of those guys, but that top four should be pretty solid.
Tony, before I let you go, you said you do like the Cubs to win the division, looking big picture in the National League. I think a lot of people are going to like the big three of either the Dodgers, the Braves, or the Phillies to represent the NL, but I think a lot of people would have liked those three teams last year, and it was the D-backs, as we know, that made it to the World Series. Do you think there's a chance, maybe, or the Cubs, in your mind, worth any kind of sprinkle, maybe, to win the National League, or do you think that maybe winning a playoff series is kind of the ceiling for this team this year?
No, I mean, I do think there's a chance for sure, and you just hit on exactly why. Because the Diamondbacks last year, and one of the things that the Diamondbacks had working in their favor was this great group of young guys that came up, and they got hot at the right time. That's the old adage in baseball is it's not necessarily like when you win games or how many games you win throughout the season, but it's like getting hot at the right time. And I mean, the Diamondbacks took down that like powerhouse Dodgers team last year in the playoffs and made it all the way to the World Series. So, and the Cubs finished one game behind the Diamondbacks in the playoff standings. They lost, I think, what is it, 6 out of 7 games of the Diamondbacks in September in the final couple weeks of the season. So I think the Cubs feel like the Diamondbacks was a really good example of a team that can surprise everybody by getting hot at the right time. But it's the young guys that came up that really helped Arizona, Corbin Carroll and some of these other guys. And I think the Cubs have that. They have a lot of depth and they have a lot of youth, a lot of young guys who will be up at some point this year and kind of give that team a jolt whenever they need it, whether injuries arise or ineffectiveness or whatever else. And I feel like that's always a good thing for a team that's flying under the radar. Like you said, there are the powerhouse teams, but if a team is going to come and surprise, I think it's because a bunch of young guys come up and perform a little bit better than people are expecting.
He's Tony Andracki. You can follow him on X at TonyAndracki23, digital content manager and Cubs reporter for the Marquee Sports Network. Tony, really appreciate the time, man. Great meeting you. We'll talk again soon throughout the season.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
All right, great stuff there from Tony. Let's keep moving with the Cubs, sticking with Chicago when you preview them this season. I thought Tony laid it out beautifully for everybody, kind of the roster, some of the prospects to look out for, the pitching staff, obviously, with some of these veterans that they'll be relying on, and then Imanaga as well coming over from Japan. The NL Central is really going to be an interesting division this year. I think the AL and the NL are very similar in the terms of the AL East and the NL East could be very good divisions, especially the top half. AL East, we know 1-5, 1-4, 1-5 is really strong. And then you got the Braves and the Phillies in the East, the NL West and the AL West. Certainly you got your three in the AL West with Seattle, Houston, and Texas. And then San Francisco, San Diego, potentially Arizona, obviously, to go along with the Dodgers. And then it's the two Central divisions. Like, who's going to win the AL Central and who's going to win the NL Central? The Cardinals are the favorites. They were the favorites last year. They're the favorites again because of Goldschmidt and Arenado and just the model of consistency that organization is. But again, I think to me, if I'm betting a team, it's either going to be the Reds or it's going to be the Cubs. I like the Cubs last year. They had a nice mix of veteran and young players, and they kind of have the same this year. Bringing back Bellinger is going to be big for them. And then they upgraded at manager, getting themselves one of the best managers in baseball in Craig Counsell. So they're going to be a very interesting team. They won 83 games last season. Their win total this year is at 84.5. Now the division could be a little bit more improved because you expect the Cardinals to be a lot better. The Reds are probably going to look like the team that we saw the second half of last year for majority of the season. And the Brewers and the Pirates, maybe they are competitive as well. The Pirates could be a team that we've obviously talked about earlier in this show, might surprise some people. So nothing I really love for the Cubs. If there would be anything from a value standpoint, I think the Cubs to miss the playoffs at plus 105 would be the bet for me. Again, just because I think the NL Central, there's a very good chance that only one team is making the playoffs out of that division. And I think there's an argument that it could be the Cardinals, the Cubs, or the Reds. So if you're going to give me plus money on a team that I certainly could see miss the playoffs, and I think it's going to be tough for them not to make it if they don't win their division, I think that could be worth a bet at plus 105. But their longest win streak this season, it's 7.5 games. Over is plus 120. Under is minus 145. Don't want to touch that. We mentioned the win total at 84.5. Justin Steele to win NL Cy Young's 18-1. Don't want to bet him. Their best NL MVP candidates are Bellinger and Nico Horner, both at 100-1. There's just nothing that really jumps out to me in the individual awards market. If I were to bet something with the Cubs, it would probably be for them to miss the playoffs at plus 105, but I certainly think they could win that NL Central. I would bet them at plus 200 before I would bet the Cardinals. All right, let's talk some college basketball here on Send It In. Time to go off the glass. Of course, it's still 1:13 p.m. Eastern time right now, so we don't have official lines for these games tomorrow, but this is what we've been doing every Friday throughout college basketball season. We've been previewing the Saturday slate, and boy, do we have some good games tomorrow. We're going to start with one at noon Eastern time between Memphis at FAU. These teams played a couple weeks ago. This was the rematch of the first round 8-9 game that we got in the NCAA tournament last year, which was a one-point game that came down to the final possession. I'm really interested to see what FAU is favored by tomorrow. They probably should be like 9.5-point favorites in this game, but I think they're only going to be about 6.5 because the market knows that a lot of people are going to be looking to bet Memphis tomorrow. They're a desperate team. They need a win like this for the NCAA tournament. I've been looking at the conference tournament futures for this league, the American Athletic Conference, and Memphis has been getting a ton of steam. They opened up as like the fourth or fifth longest odds to win the tournament, and now they're the second lowest odds because everybody just keeps betting them, expecting this team to look like the team that we saw in non-conference. Big test tomorrow against FAU. Anything under 7, I would lay it with the Owls tomorrow. Then we got Creighton at Villanova, another monster game for a team squarely on the bubble in Villanova. They had a big win last Saturday against Providence, couldn't back it up with a big win against Seton Hall. They dropped that game. Now they're right there on the bubble, probably one of the first four teams out, have a chance for a massive win against a ranked Creighton team in Philadelphia tomorrow. I would lean Villanova. I think this game's probably going to be close to a pick. Villanova certainly could be favored by maybe a point, point and a half. I like Nova to take care of business. They always play Creighton well. Under Kyle Neptune, there are certain teams that he struggles against and certain teams he always seems to play well. They've always kind of played Creighton well. I think they continue to do that. I like Villanova tomorrow on the money line. Then we got number 17, South Carolina at Mississippi State. Bulldogs can pretty much clinch their berth into the NCAA tournament with a win tomorrow, and I think they're going to do just that. I like Mississippi State to win the game, but I also like the under. Mississippi State's calling card is their defense. They play at a slow pace, and they want to grind you out and make it physical, ugly, defensive struggle type games, especially when it's at home. I think they do that. I'll take the under in Mississippi State and South Carolina tomorrow. Then we got three mega matchups tomorrow. Three games featuring two teams that are ranked in the top 15. The first one is going to be number one Houston against number 14 Kansas. If you guys have been watching this show, you know that I think Kansas, they are some frauds. I don't think they're very good. They do have Kevin McCullough back, which helps them, but I think Houston is going to beat them tomorrow. I like Houston in the first half. Over the last couple years, when Houston has been this dominant first force in the regular season, especially at home, betting them first half spread has been an absolute cash cow. I don't think that's going to change tomorrow. When Houston joined the Big 12, what do you think was the game that they were most looking forward to? It was the home game against Kansas. That building is going to be electric tomorrow. I think they come out and start fast. I'll take Houston in the first half. Then we got number 15, Kentucky at number 4, Tennessee. It's going to be a great game in the SEC. Both, it feels like a majority of people like these teams long term. Both of these teams are getting a lot of love right now. Tennessee is a projected one seed. Kentucky is that like four seed that everybody talks about. Nobody wants to play. I can't like Kentucky though long term. Now for this game, I certainly think that they can be competitive. This is also another game that I really want to see what the spread is, because according to the KenPom metrics, Tennessee should be like a 9.5, 10-point favorite in this game. But if they make the spread that high, everybody is going to be in Kentucky, and they better hope that they really like their position on Tennessee tomorrow. I think this game's probably going to be about a 5.5-6 point spread, and I think the value is going to be on Tennessee. They're a really good team at home. Kentucky gives up points to everybody, especially if you have a good offense. They gave up 100 to Arkansas. They gave up 80-90 points to Vanderbilt. Now they got to play Tennessee, who is coming off an off shooting game against South Carolina. I think their offense bounces back. I'll take Tennessee tomorrow laying the points. Then we got the best rivalry maybe in all of college sports, maybe in all of sports. Duke Carolina tomorrow in Durham. Carolina won the first matchup, and normally these games in Durham, Carolina plays really, really well. I like UNC in the first half, plus the points tomorrow. Duke's probably going to be about 3.5 point favorites in the game tomorrow. I think Duke wins, but I would take Carolina first half spread, wait to attack Duke live in game. I think they're going to be plus money at some point, and I think they come back and they win the game. Then we got number two, UConn at Providence. Providence really isn't that good. They lost their best player, Bryce Hopkins, earlier in the year. You got to give them a lot of credit because even though they lost Hopkins, they've still managed to win some games and give themselves a chance to make it to the NCAA tournament. And this is the game that you want to end the regular season. You want to play UConn. That's the game that you want if you're trying to impress the committee. With all that being said, UConn is on a different level than Providence is. And even though Providence is one of the great home court advantages and they're a really good team at home, I don't think they're beating UConn tomorrow. I'd lay it with the Huskies. I think they're going to roll to an easy victory. All right, time to do a little glassology before we check in with Kate Constable and do some model-making money. Going to talk about the bubble teams today, and I'm looking at six of them right now. If you go to Bracket Matrix and you look at who the 11 seeds would be if the NCAA tournament started today, these are the six teams that they've come up with. We're going to start with Virginia right now, who is leaking some serious oil. They have not played well in the month of February and here in early March. They got a tricky game tomorrow at home against Georgia Tech. If they lose that game, Virginia is going to be out unless they do some serious damage in the ACC tournament. I don't think anybody wants this team in. They are not passing the eye test whatsoever. They're ranked ninth in defense, according to KenPom. They play at the slowest pace in college basketball. There are 362 teams. Their pace is ranked 362nd. Their offense is ranked 191st. And as I mentioned, their defense is good, but I think that's because of the pace that they play at. It kind of hides a little bit that their defense probably isn't top 10 caliber. I don't think anybody wants Virginia in the tournament, but if they beat Georgia Tech tomorrow, and then if they make it to probably the semifinal round of the ACC tournament, I think they're probably going to be in the big dance. Then we got a couple of Big East teams that are really intriguing, Seton Hall and St. John's. I think if you're a St. John's fan, you're feeling a little bit better just because your head coach is Rick Pitino. And let's be honest, at the end of the day, the people on this committee are all humans. And you got one of the all-time great college basketball coaches. His team's playing very well here the last couple weeks. If they got a chance to put in St. John's, I think they're going to do it. Seton Hall, they don't have really a big opportunity tomorrow. They're home against DePaul, who is one of the worst teams in Division I college basketball. You want a game like Providence has when you're playing UConn. You don't want to have DePaul at home. So Seton Hall, I think, is going to have to do a little bit of work in the Big East tournament. Then we have New Mexico, who is also an 11 seed, one of those first four in, first four out teams. What could be really interesting is that Richard Pitino is the head coach in New Mexico, and obviously Rick Pitino, the head coach of St. John's. Could you imagine in the first four, if we had Richard going up against Rick Pitino? That would be something. I think of all the teams on the bubble, New Mexico's team is the best, but man, their resume does have some blemishes on it, and they might need to do a little bit in the Mountain West tournament. Then we have a couple of mid-majors, Indiana State and Richmond. Indiana State, they start their conference tournament today in the Missouri Valley, have one of the best offenses in mid-major college basketball. I think they're going to have to win the Missouri Valley Conference. I don't think they're going to be able to get an at-large. So if you're a Sycamore fan, you better hope that they win the MVC Conference Tournament. And finally, Richmond. They're 15-2 in conference play in the Atlantic 10. The problem is they're probably going to get the one seed in their league play, and they won't play Loyola Chicago or Dayton until the conference tournament final. I think they're going to have to win it as well. So if you're a Richmond fan or an Indiana State fan, I think you're going to need your team to win their conference tournament if they're going to get in to March Madness. All right, let's check in with Kate Constable here from Model Making Money on a Friday. Get some best bets, some five-star plays, and talk a little hoops as well. Kate, great to see you. What are the five-star plays that BetQL has for us today?
Hi, PJ. Five-star plays in the NBA. This one's a little surprising. We have Bucks Lakers. Likes the model. That is, likes the over on this one at 232. And I say that's surprising because the Bucks have had just a slew of under games. I believe it's like 7 or 8 straight games to the under. They have the best defense in the league right now, which is also surprising because they started so crappy this year on the defensive end. But I think the Lakers defense, being it is so poor right now, they're going to let in a lot of points. So over 232 is the five-star play from the model today.
All right, very nice. Definitely the marquee game in the NBA tonight. Last night, Kate, we had ourselves a marquee game. Celtics and Nuggets, everybody was excited for it. The Nuggets, they served court at home. They took care of business. Boston has dropped 2 games in a row. After last night, Kate, are you willing to say that the Nuggets are still the team to beat in the NBA, or do you still think that it's Boston?
That one showed us that the Nuggets are still right up there. I mean, what they were able to do, I know they had home court advantage where they've been great this season, but Boston was looking for a little revenge after the Nuggets went into Boston and beat the Celtics. So the fact that the Nuggets shot 19% from deep and still were able to win that game, that just speaks to the efficiency and the depth that, you know, they were able to showcase. I mean, Jokic was what, like 11 for 19 and triple-double. You look at the bench minutes and points. Celtics bench players, 53 minutes combined and only 10 total points were for the Nuggets. 66 minutes combined and 28 total points. So the depth is certainly going to come in to play a little bit in the postseason, especially in a 7-game series when you get tired down the stretch. So I'm not counting the Nuggets out quite yet. I think the Celtics still have a little work to put in before they're able to jump Denver in that category for me.
Man, that was a really good game last night. Kate, back to tonight, though. Is there anything that you have your eye on, any best bets that you like in the NBA?
Yeah, PJ, I like the New Orleans Pelicans -7.5 tonight against the 76ers. New Orleans has been so good lately, and it's won its last 2 games by 20-plus points. Their last 3 wins have all come by at least 23 points. So I think that they can win big again tonight against the 76ers team. That's going to be without Tyrese Maxey. He's still out with a concussion. No Robert Covington, no D'Anthony Melton, no Joel Embiid. Pelicans are fully healthy. They're rested. Their offense has been operating at a really high level. They rank 2nd in offensive rating, 3rd in net rating, 3rd in defense. So I think this number at 7.5, although it's big, I still think it's just a little too short against a 76ers team that is not playing its best basketball right now because of a lot of the injuries that are going on. So I'm going to back New Orleans on the road.
All right, nice. Going with the Pelicans there. Kate, before I let you go, what a slate we have in college basketball tomorrow. I was just talking about it. 3 games between 2 top 15 teams. We got Duke, Carolina, Kansas, Houston, and Kentucky and Tennessee. Obviously, no lines out for either of these games, but is there a game that you think maybe you're going to be betting, and is there one that you're excited to watch tomorrow?
I'm really excited to watch Duke, North Carolina, and I'll probably be betting that game as well just to have a little bit more stake and excitement in it. I like Duke at home. I mean, it lost to North Carolina earlier this season, so a little bit of a revenge spot. This is senior night. Duke is at home, and the Tar Heels were able to limit Duke on the perimeter shooting in that first matchup. Held Duke to just 26% from deep. The Blue Devils are a better 3-point shooting team than that. So I think they can knock down a couple more tomorrow afternoon. And it's going to be harder for North Carolina to go on the road and get a win in that atmosphere. So I'm going to back Duke at home, likely going to back them depending on where the line comes out. But that's one I'm really interested to watch.
Awesome. Yeah. Oh, Duke Carolina never does disappoint. She's Kate Constable joining me here on Send It In. Kate, great seeing you as always. Good luck to your bets tonight and tomorrow. We'll talk again next week.
Sounds good, PJ. Have a good weekend.
You as well. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1 to 5 star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, time to wrap up the show now with PJ's plays. We're going to start with our prop lock tonight. I'm going to go with Rudy Gobert over 14.5 rebounds against the Cavs. How about the game that Anthony Edwards had last night for the Timberwolves against Indiana, offensively, defensively with that block? Just insane. What I noticed, though, was without Karl Anthony Towns, I wanted to see what the rotations would be like. I wanted to see who was filling up certain stats. And with Towns out, and obviously with this matchup against Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, Gobert is going to have to be massive on the boards tonight. I'll take Rudy over 14.5 rebounds. My stay away game is going to be the Wizards and the Hornets. Why? Because these are two of the worst teams in the NBA, and the Wizards are favored, and they've lost, like, what is it, 12 games in a row or something like that? Teams who's lost 12 in a row, and they're favored by 2.5? No way I'm betting that game. That is the definition of a stay away. My dog of the day today is going to be San Diego plus 2.5 against Pepperdine. If you were on Twitter at all yesterday, you were monitoring some of these college basketball games going on, you might have seen what the Pepperdine Pacific score was yesterday. I'll give you a brief recap. The Pepperdine was up 39-2 at one point in that game. They were up 56-9 at halftime. They ended up winning the game by like 55 points. I think they're a little bit inflated going into this game today against San Diego. I'll take San Diego plus 2.5. And then my best bet is going to be San Diego State minus 7.5 against Boise State. Two teams that are going to be in the NCAA tournament. Two teams that are very good Mountain West defensive teams in the Mountain West, but San Diego State is so good at home. Nobody beats them at the Viejas Center. I don't think that's changing tonight. I'm laying the 7.5 with the Aztecs. To recap our best bets for today, we're going to take Rudy Gobert over 14.5 rebounds against the Cavs. Wizards and Hornets is going to be my stay away game. San Diego plus 2.5 against Pepperdine is my dog of the day. And give me San Diego State minus 7.5 against Boise as my best bet. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Hope you enjoy the college hoops tomorrow. Hope you have a great weekend. And we'll see you again on Monday for some more Send It In, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the BetQL Network.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok's Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.